This discipleship thing isn't easy, but we have plenty of company on the journey. I'm Brian Patrick. We're concluding our series on becoming disciples. This time we need each other with special guest Dan Spencer from the National Fellowship of Catholic Men here on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on becoming disciples. We need each other. Here's our Crossing the Goal team one more time. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Founder and President of Focus. The Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, and our coach here on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. And Danny, this series summed up right here.
Yes, you know, we're at the end of our series, and it's been a great series. We talked about knowing God, knowing Jesus, following Jesus, the truth, and all these things are very critical and important. But if we don't get involved with a larger group, accountability group, we'll fall back into our old ways of living.
The particular place where this is really the issue is when we're dealing with habitual sin or addictions. We have to recognize that the sacraments are effective. They change our lives. But when we're talking about deep habits or addictions, we really need the sacraments to be lived out in a life with buddies, friends who are pursuing Christ also. So that's why this is such an important final show for this very, very important topic.
Yeah, a disciple knows that he's living in a constant state of mission, and he's living in a communion in mission. He's living with others, arm in arm, with brothers and sisters, following the Master in the way of life that the Master has laid out before us. It's crucial.
And we talk a lot about forming and belonging to small groups here on Crossing the Goal, and there are fellowships of Catholic men all over the country, and there is a larger organization called the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, and the Executive Director, Dan Spencer, joins our coach, Danny Abramowitz, for the game plan next here on Crossing the Goal.
Amen. Welcome back. I want to introduce you to a buddy of mine, Dan Spencer.
Good to see you,
Big
Danny.
Big Dan, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
You know, this guy right here, Dan Spencer, to me, guys, epitomize a disciple.
Oh, don't set me up like
well,
that.
Well, I got to do that. Put the pressure on you, man. Okay. You know, I want you to start out with, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Born into a Catholic family, great Catholic family, mom and dad, four other siblings. Probably the most important element of my early life was confirmation. I really believed it when that archbishop slapped me and said, "You're going to be a soldier of Christ."
Yeah.
You know, I think he gave me orders right then.
Loosen some of your teeth.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if they do that anymore, but he did it to me. Went on, was very active in the Catholic Church until high school. High school, I became an evangelical during the late 60s and kind of looking around and got very involved, became an evangelical leader, eventually went to the University of Kansas where we started a large ministry. Several thousand young people were attending our group. And along the way, I met a co-ed when I was there who was a good Baptist girl. And one day she asked me about if I was still Catholic. And that's a whole story maybe we can get into in a while. But she actually is the one who brought me back to the Catholic faith. So after that experience, we had gone to Mass together.
Well, speaking of the family, you're about that, what about your family? How many children do you have?
Married, have four children, all grown, from 33 to 26, two boys, two girls, all in the faith, all active.
Beautiful.
Two are married. We just had another marriage. We've got another one coming up next year. Have one grandson. So,
there you go, man.
You know, we got the whole group. Okay. Got the whole group. Yeah.
Now go ahead and tell us a little more.
Well, just to say that, you know, I'd gone into evangelical Protestantism and learned a lot, had a lot of great friends, and then I, through this young Baptist co-ed who would become my wife eventually, took me to Mass. She said, "Take me to Mass." And when I went back to Mass, she had wanted to see the real presence. I realized that I had made a big mistake. And so I moved, I went back to my organization and said, I have to quit. And they didn't exactly understand that, but I knew that. Soon after that, we got married, graduated from the university, went on, started my professional career, and it's very strange. For about 20 years, I was a good, what most people would consider a good Catholic, going to Mass, raising my kids Catholic, trying to do the best we could, which was very good. The problem was I eventually getting more and more into business. It was increasingly yes. about me,
yeah.
you know, and my ego and my goals. I became what I call a CIA. I was a member of the CIA. I was complacent, indifferent, and apathetic by the end of that thing.
Right?
So here I am 20 years down the road. I'm at the pinnacle of my career in terms of a lot of the corporate life. Dot-com world comes along, and I said, I've got the ego. I can go out and make this happen. Became what I call a serial entrepreneur. I started a number of dot-com startups in the 90s. Got down to the end of that, and the crash of the NASDAQ happened. I found myself absolutely, my self-worth and my net worth were at zero.
Right. And that's when you needed
that's
somebody,
when
didn't
I, That's when I had to come to Christ.
And not only to Christ, didn't you get involved with men's groups?
I did indeed. That's when I went to my parish. There was a new men's group that was starting.
Right.
I joined that group. They weren't expecting the first night to have a guy come in and lay all that out on them. But
right.
it was
that's
that kind
good,
of openness.
Yeah.
We came together. Those guys helped me, and that put me on the road in 2001 to really doing a lot of men's ministry ever since.
Well, since then, you know, that's when my path and your path crossed with the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. Give mm-hmm. us a little breakdown of that.
The NFCM is an organization that's made up of about 60 local autonomous Catholic men's ministries all over the United States. We serve about 60 to 70,000 men in annual conferences, small faith groups, and general formation and evangelization training. So that's kind of the role. Really, we do three things, Danny. The first thing we do is we identify dioceses or parishes that want to start something like that. So we give them the resources and the support and speakers and materials like Crossing the Goal, right? The second thing we do is we help those that are already in existence because they need continual support in terms of what's new, what's going on. So we kind of vet good Catholic ministries and say, yeah. these are some you should be taking a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing we've started doing now is we've developed services that really transcend any one location because sometimes what's needed in a fellowship can't be afforded by a local fellowship.
Right.
So the scale is such that it really has to be a national effort. And we've done that, for instance, last year we started a private social network
Beautiful.
For Catholic
yeah.
men, for instance.
Yeah,
so they can go on there. They're not on Facebook. They're not in the temptations.
Because a lot of groups feel that they're alone. Is anyone else doing the same
thing?
That's right.
They can share best practices. They can share the time. Every single group out there can have their own page, their own posting area, their own calendars, and all
Good.
Of that.
I know we're moving fast here, but we've got
That's
one
okay.
more area we want to talk about. Then we can do some stuff down here in the red
okay.
zone. You're involved with really helping men with pornography problems.
I am. I've tried to start turning that around to helping men keep up with sexual integrity, right? Because this is a tsunami that is just destroying
Absolutely.
Our nation, not just in the culture, but in our churches and our marriages and our families. And the newest strategic alliances we've signed is with a group called Covenant Eyes.
Yes.
Covenant Eyes provides accountability software on your computer or your smartphone so that you, when you load that, every single website you visit is reported to a parent. Okay?
Wow.
So for fathers, we say we're supposed to be protectors, providers, and leaders. This is a protection thing. For men who are struggling, they need an accountability partner who they can, because you get a report every week or 2 weeks that says, this
so
is
you
everybody
can't trick,
I've
you can't
seen.
Trick no
They're
one,
not
huh?
tricking the system, right? In fact, if you're trying to remove it from your computer, it sends an emergency notice to your accountability partner. But if you're a father and you've got children between the ages of about 10 and 17, this is just critical. Number one targeted area, kids are doing 33% of kids are doing less sports. They're inside, they're doing games, they're on the internet. They are the prime target of pornographers, and we have to stop this as men. As fathers, there should be no Catholic family if they have children in those age ranges that don't have that kind of software.
And they'll see this on the website.
And if they come to our website, which will be up here on the screen,
yes.
they can go there and there's going to be an area they click on. We can get them signed up. It's inexpensive. It's absolutely essential if you're going to be a strong father.
Fantastic. I know, men out here, you want to know more about this. It's interesting. Come with us down in the web, into the red zone right after this message.
We've moved into the red zone here on Crossing the Goal. We need each other as we conclude our series on becoming disciples. And Coach, you've been real involved in National Catholic Men throughout for quite a few years, and Dan is a partner in that with you.
Yeah, but what I want to find out, we're friends, but tell us about this Baptist girl that just converted you to Catholicism.
Back to Catholicism. Well, actually, it's not just one girl, it's three, and let me explain that first off.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to give credit, first of all, to my mother, because when she sees me out here at all these evangelical activities, she said, you know, he could have done that in the Catholic Church. So I'm wondering, so she's praying, right? She's praying. And you know who she's praying to?
Our Blessed Lady,
yes, right? Yes. So that's the second lady in that. And then I think that her prayers to the Blessed Mother then touched the co-ed who became my wife, Linda, to really draw me and ask me to take her to that Mass. And I got to tell you, that was an amazing experience for us to walk in. Midnight Mass on the university, we go in. She's looking to find out if the real presence, she's heard Catholics believe in the real presence, which she thought she believed in her whole life. She walked into this Mass, and she instantly said, this is it. Wow. And she looked at me, and it was like, in case you didn't know, dummy, this is it. And she turned to me, and I was completely silent. I was so convicted that I had walked away from the Eucharist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not just the activities of the church, but the Eucharist. And that hit me just right then. So we walked out of Mass afterwards, and she said, well, now what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So we were up till about 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, she's a tough lady in terms of faith. And so she said, what are you going to do? And I said, I guess I have to go tell people I'm Catholic. She goes, that's it? And I said, well, what do you think? She goes, I don't think you can run an evangelical deal being a Catholic. I said, you're just a date, you know? Yeah.
She took care of that.
Didn't say that, you know. But anyway, so I said, okay. So the next day I go in, I said, guys, look, I have to step away from this. And
the very next day?
The next day, yeah. Wow. And so went back in.
Well, you dropped your nets, man. You dropped your nets.
Yes, I did. And she says, okay, can we start going to Mass now regularly? And we did. And it just grew from there. Eventually, I want to capture somebody like that. Yeah. So, you know, I said, well, let's keep this going, and eventually ask her to marry me, which we did. And after that, we have been faithful Catholics 6 years later. She wanted to investigate every little aspect of the Catholic faith, and did. And that made me learn more about apologetics.
Yeah.
Because now I'm having to explain all this stuff that now I've said I believe. So it was a great 6 year deal. She comes into the faith, and all of our kids, of course, baptized Catholic. And it was terrific. So I give credit to all three of those women.
Beautiful. Oh, that's great.
Mom,
great.
Holy Mother, and my wife.
You know, as you've been telling your story, you're just tracking the Lord's work in your life. He's given you a passion in your heart for people. It really has. You mean, right from the beginning, and you're still doing it. You're still pursuing souls.
I take it back to confirmation. I'm telling you, I don't do stories brief, but I'll try, okay? Yeah. And here's the deal. I had a priest, Father Flanagan, who was the Monsignor Flanagan in ours, who was the relative of the guy who founded Boys Town. And this guy was a street priest. I mean, he didn't put up with smart
like
folks,
the original
like me.
Father Flanagan.
Yeah. These guys were not. These guys grabbed guys like me and put them against the wall and said, should we pray together? Or, you know. And he came to me when I was young, and he said, you are not allowed to take a normal name for your confession, for your confirmational name. He said, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Joseph. I mean, you just can't take any of those. You need to read the book, Lives of the Saints, and you need to find somebody who relates to you. And I did. I found a 12-year-old kid who had been murdered when he was taken the host to people who were in prison in the 2nd century. And his name was Tarcisius. And here, you know, I'm about that age, and I'm thinking, wow, this guy really was a soldier of Christ. And I took that name. Now, it was tough for the archbishop. He comes down, he goes,
yeah, right.
What is this? Is this tartar sauce?
Tartar sauce?
Tarcisius. And I think I got a little extra. So that's where it really started. Believe that.
Yeah, I remember when they used to slap us at confirmation. We had a bishop in the Diocese of Covington, Bishop Hughes, who gave talks at various confirmations later and said, you know, we used to slap you at confirmation. He said, I kind of miss that.
What's that? Soldier of Christ.
It is. It's symbolic.
Okay, you know, you're in the family.
It's like, man
this
up.
This isn't about being a Catholic. This is about the next step, which is really discipleship. And you need to stand up for your faith, even at that young age.
Yeah.
And I got this Tarcisius guy, and man, he went to the wall.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to say, you know, in your faith, say, well, you know, I gave up this for Lent. I mean, you just don't feel like that kind of cuts it.
So. And the love of Christ has been compelling you to have a tender heart. The Lord throws you right in the middle of this, caring for all these men who are battling pornography.
I mean, Well, you know, here's the problem. When you deal with men, the first thing that comes out when you deal with men are their wounds. When they really start to take off the mask, and when you get past the, okay, let's talk about sports, let's talk about, you know, where you work and all that. If you can get the mask off, and I always say, for instance, I said, well, tell me about your dad. And I tell you, you can learn more sometimes asking a man, tell me about your father. Well, he's a bum. Or he was the best dad in the world. Or I never knew my father. Or as one guy said, he went to Vietnam, he was killed, and I'm still angry. You know, and all this stuff comes up. And where that ends up percolating is this need to kind of, how do I be a man without a role model? Kind of like what you guys have talked about on your series here. You know, you need models, you need other brothers, you need people to do that. And a lot of these men didn't have it. They try and gut it out and fake it. And they find themselves then when they find some real pain, like say right now we're in an economic crisis, and they end up medicating with something that they never thought they would, but it's so readily available. And now this tsunami is just has hit everywhere. And as much as I'm interested in serving those men and recovering those men, and we can do that. If you're struggling, there is hope. We can absolutely get you on back into freedom, but you need to contact us. But beyond that, fathers need, as I said with Danny, fathers need to step up ahead of time.
Yes.
You know, I say this quote that I was telling you about yesterday, you know, that Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, says, easier to build boys than it is to mend men. You know, get them young. And we need to be working on those guys when they're 9, 10, and 11 years old. And preventing, protecting, not just ourselves, but also our sons and our daughters from this junk. And it's a tsunami. But praise the Lord, we've got another initiative coming up the first of the year, which will be a totally anonymous online treatment program that men can get onto. It has all the newest brain science that helps them go through cognitive therapy. It's a $2.5 million project that we're sharing. Somebody else developed, NFCM did not pay for. But it's going to be available to Catholic men with all the theology of the body and all that kind of stuff. We want them in.
And this is a big deal, Dan, right? Because we got men, not just 100 or 1,000 or even 100,000. We have millions of men sitting on the sideline because of the wounds that they've had, that they think somehow they're disqualified or they don't have the integrity to step forward. And it is not about the integrity that I've never fallen. It is the integrity that I have. Of course I've fallen, but now I've risen again by the grace of Christ, and I'm going to step up, and with His grace, I'm going to strive to live a different life. And we've got to call men back out. I love that what you guys are doing there, because we've got to mobilize this across the nation.
Well, we do, and it really, there's no magic pill to this, but it does take one man looking at another man with genuine love of Christ and saying, I want to help. So you either need to get help or help out. There's no other, there's no middle state here. Catholic men have to help other Catholic men so that they can step out. Because I'm telling you, most men are not involved as disciples because they're dealing with pornography and they're like, you know, anybody finds this sin out and I'm washed out. Or divorce. And they're like, you know, you don't know, I had to divorce, my ex-wife hates my guts, you know, I can't be anything. Baloney. Jesus uses people, broken men. I love broken men.
Dan, I work with a lot of recovering alcoholics, and the only way that I've found to effectively reach an active alcoholic and give hope for recovery is to share my journey. With pornography, is that the same? Can you win a guy's trust by sharing your own experience, or how does a guy break from the shame of pornography to talk openly about it with someone else?
You know, Revelations talks about that the blood of the martyrs and their testimonies are what save people. Sharing stories is the single most powerful way that men and women connect. And I think if a man is bold enough and brave enough to step forward and say, I suffered just like you are, it is shameful. But if you keep on this shame cycle, it's going to take you right down the toilet. Then what's, is that working for you? I mean, are you going to be a better father by hiding all this? No. Can you help your son or daughter? No. Can you help another man? No. So come on, and I can't tell you, you have a man stand up in front of a crowd and say, I'm broken here, fill in the blank. And by the end of that group, as you know, men will come forward and say, thank God you said it. I am too. Now they're sheepish at first, you know, particularly about porn because it's got so much
shame
associated with it. But that shame is what, that's Satan. That kind of shame is Satan saying, hold back.
We don't have much time. It's critical that men get in. We talk about it all the time. Get into small groups. Tell the importance of that to the men out here.
I think, simply put, you cannot do it alone. You simply cannot be a disciple by yourself. Christ didn't do that with his first apostles. It's never been in the church. It's never been effective. You have to operate, but you must find a group or at least one other guy and just start there. Don't try and start everything, but do something. So start with another guy, take your mask off, and just start someplace simple. If they want resources to how to start that, they can get a hold of us and we'll get them to them. If they want simple accountability questions, we'll get them to them.
Good. All right. Dan Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you all.
The goal.
Good to be here.
Executive Director of the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. Becoming disciples, we need each other. The last word from our Crossing the Goal team next in the End Zone. Stay with us.
I can jump.
We're in the End Zone. It's hard to believe we're wrapping up this series on becoming disciples. It's been a really good series, Coach.
Man, I might sound like a broken record, but you know what you have to do? We talked about it many, many times, and you heard it from Dan. You need to get other men involved in your life. You need to join small groups, and you can go to our website, and we can lead you to groups.
Listen to the model that comes right again from St. Paul, first century, right in the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He says this, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves. This is what discipleship is all about. It's imparting the gospel of God within the framework of human relationships. That's what discipleship is. Please choose to be a disciple.
Brothers, it's our conviction that this might be the best series that we've ever done. We're facing a crisis of discipleship in the church. A fundamental crisis right at the heart of the church. That's why we did this series. The reason the church is experiencing the weakness and the breakdown it's experiencing in this country and in other places in the West is because men and women have not stepped up and become disciples. We put this together. We believe this series can help you connect and understand what Jesus' fundamental call is in your life. What does it mean to have Jesus at the center of your life, to have Him as Lord? What does it mean to enter into relationships, committed relationships in Jesus Christ that really bring healing and health to our own lives? What does it mean to follow the truth and to live the Orthodox teaching of the church? And what can we expect and have that teaching free us and lead us more deeply into God's plan? And finally, what does it mean to live with Jesus in His mission? Jesus Christ is passionate for souls. He bled on the cross, brothers and sisters, to save the world. And He wants the love that burns in His heart to burn in your heart. And when it burns in our heart as baptized Catholics and we live it, we will change the world.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Peter, Curtis, Coach, and thank you for watching Crossing the Goal.